This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Peter King from Dallas today. Peter is going to join us via phone, usually by Skype. He is in Dallas, right in the middle of the action with Jerry Jones, Roger Goodell. It'll be very interesting to talk with Peter King on everything around the future of Jerry Jones, the future of Roger Goodell, what is going on with the NFL and infighting, so on and so forth. And we'll try to fit in some other things as well, but really interesting to catch up with Peter today on that front. Last night, I went to a friend's house in 2000, back when I was doing radio days. In fact, this is how far back Eric and I go. It was actually 1999. I have a picture of Eric picking me up and my wife at our house in Ahwatukee, which was now two houses ago. And Eric had, I don't know, you were probably, 21, 22, something like that. You were just a pup and maybe a little older, 24, 25.
But yeah, probably 24, I would think. Somewhere in that range.
But I was approached. This was when I was at KTAR. I had a sales rep that came down the hall and said, there's a company that wants you to go to China. And they want you to take a bunch of Diamondback fans with you. And I said, so how much is the check? And I have to sit in a really comfortable seat. I didn't demand first class because I'm not that type of guy. But I needed a space. That's a long flight. And towards the end of the conversation, I said, so how long are we talking about? And they said, oh, it's 27 days. 27 days. I'm on a cruise ship in China. Back then, we cruised the Yangtze River. We went to the Three Gorges Dam. We did all of China. And I met a man that was an enormous Diamondback fan and a really interesting, just an interesting human being. I walked the Great Wall with him. We became fast friends. My wife, myself, and he, and then his future wife, have stayed in touch. And he opened a school in Cambodia back in 2006. And he's one of these people that's gone to 70, 80 different countries, continents, all that stuff. And the guide for him is now running that school in Cambodia. So last night, I get invited to a very nice dinner party. I was completely out of place. These are people that are... they're very comfortable in their own skin. I'm there in jeans and a long sleeve shirt after teaching over at Cronkite, and had a marvelous time in hearing what they've done. There's over 700 children in Cambodia at this school that they have built from nothing, and they still don't have very much. So I spent some time over there, had the DVR, got home, saw that Lonzo didn't play in the fourth quarter. The Suns, of course, lost. And, you know, today it is all about, Lonzo didn't play this, and he's not any good and all that stuff. And, okay, it's November. And I'll say that when it's January and when it's February, because for the most part, like, there's been some entertaining NBA games. And if Luke Walton is trying to toughen up Lonzo Ball, it's fine. I was on the bandwagon. I'm not getting off the bandwagon. No, I'm not. I think when this is all said and done, I'm going to be just fine. The Suns, on the other hand, you know, Devin Booker is a terrific player, but he scored 36, but he only had 7 in the fourth quarter with Corey Brewer all over him. Okay, so let's be clear about that. And the Suns end up losing by 7 to the Lakers. That was the really the sports story of the night. When I watch back the game, there's some moments, but these are two teams that are in transition. The Lakers are further ahead than the Suns. I'm actually more interested. I don't know if you saw the highlights today of the 76ers. We said on this show, Eric, what was it, 2 years ago? We said on this show, the 76ers will become relevant before the Suns because Brian Colangelo was going to go there and he was not going to sit around and put crappy teams out on the floor. And last night, I'm watching some of the 76ers in the highlights, and again this morning. Man, they've got a loaded roster, and they're fun to watch. I think they're above 500 now. I'd take that roster over the Suns roster. That was good. GCU played last night. had a friend of mine that called, and this person's an ASU guy, and it's fine. Everybody has their own opinions. And he was like, the Havocs are okay. And they're playing Robert Morris, and I don't care if they're playing Morris and Robert or Robert and Morris. You know, they got to play games, and people don't want to come play them on their home court. And so the atmosphere may not have been as outstanding as some have made it out to be. It wasn't a Rick Pitino night, but it's still Dan taking care of business, and they're 2-0. Get back to me on that one as we get into, you know, some of the more difficult games here in a few weeks. It's early in the season. Tonight, there's some games that I'm going to watch. Tonight has a college basketball feel about it. The NFL game last night, Carolina-Miami, was one of the worst-rated NFL games in the last 6 years. Looking at all the trends and numbers this morning, a lot is being written about how very few people were watching Carolina and Miami. And the NFL lover and supporter and those who get checks from the NFL say, yeah, it's still bigger than anything else that was out there. We've got it all figured out. Yeah, I got it. We'll talk with Peter King here in a few minutes. Tonight is also going to be the CFP playoff show. I like the CFP playoff show personally. It's something that as you get into November, they're starting it a tad early, just a tad early. But I think after what happened last weekend on the college football front, Georgia losing, TCU losing, Notre Dame getting absolutely destroyed, just annihilated on the football field, showing they clearly do not belong. With those three teams going down, you know, tonight is going to go back to old faithfuls outside of Miami. You got to believe that Alabama is going to be there, even though Mississippi State just crapped the bed, should have won that game, found all sorts of ways to lose it, blow it, and they did at home. Clemson will be in the four today. Oklahoma will be in the four today. And Miami should be in the four today. And beyond that, anybody who says Wisconsin, I don't think they've played anybody. And I don't care about if you've won games, if you have a perfect record, if you're a Wisconsin fan, really, have you played the most difficult schedule? And so when all this is said and done tonight, I think the angst and anger over who should be 1 through 4 tonight for this week is not really going to be that much of a surprise. Eric, am I on the same page with you on this one?
Yeah, it should be pretty clear cut. I mean, I don't see, like you said, some teams won, some teams lost. It's pretty easy to piece together who's going to be moving up, who's going to be moving down.
TCU's going to come here, though, right? Is that what it's looking like to you?
I wouldn't assume that.
Is it looking like it's a possibility?
It's TCU, a possibility, but TCU, USC. I wouldn't assume that.
Where else would they go?
Well, there's still two games left. So, you know, it's we're getting closer to bowl projections actually meaning anything. But TCU plays at Texas Tech, and their offense, TCU's offense, is not looking good, and Texas Tech can score points. So I'm not just penciling in a win over Texas Tech.
You going to any more games?
No.
Had enough? Saving money for the bowl season?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of playing it by ear.
If they come here, Do you go all out? Do you have the friends come out?
I really hope they don't come here.
You're going to have to entertain, right?
Well, they've come here twice, and they've lost twice. So I'd prefer that they stay out of the state of Arizona when it comes to bowl season.
Wow. Because you would be on the hook. You'd have people calling you expecting you to take care of them.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's not good. You don't want that.
Probably.
But USC, because USC is not going to go play in the champ game, so they're not going to the Rose Bowl this year.
They are not.
And then you go down the rest of the games, rest of the teams that are bowl eligible. Like U of A, for them, a good bowl game would probably be going to San Francisco to play in the Foster Farms Bowl. That would be a good bowl game for U of A, for where they've been, where the program was. They were in a Fiesta Bowl most recently. They were over New Mexico for a bowl game a couple of years ago. Last year, they didn't go to one. The Holiday Bowl would be fine. The Holiday Bowl is just not what it once was. I guess I'm just caught up in that the Holiday Bowl used to be one of the premier bowl games. And there's some friends of mine that are still over there involved with that bowl game. But it just doesn't have that same sort of sexy feel to it. I think it's because the same teams go there every year. Every year the Pac-12 sends teams there. And I kind of like to see things get mixed up. You know, if Arizona State can win a game against Oregon State and become bowl eligible, it's pretty clear to me they're going to end up either in Las Vegas, possibly El Paso, but in all likelihood, it'd be something like Arizona State, Boise State, over Big Sam Boyd Stadium before Christmas or shortly after Christmas, something like that. you know, the rest of the Pac-12 South, I can't see where UCLA, if UCLA wins out, anything's possible. What if Rich Rod wins out? If you beat Oregon and beat ASU, you're sitting there with 9 wins with a roster that's just loaded. You're going to go better than San Francisco, I would think. I think that would get you, that probably gets you into the Alamo. Alamo's a pretty good bowl game if we're talking about bowl game projections. And that's why for Arizona State, it's they've got to win this weekend. I put up a story, just some general thoughts on the divide with ASU fans over what to do with Todd Graham. And you can make a compelling argument that it's not going to get any better than what they have with Todd Graham, what he's done academically, what he's done in building up the program. You can make that argument. And you could also make the argument of they haven't won. I had somebody last night, a big ASU fan, who said, you know, you're all over, slobbering all over U of A. I'm paraphrasing about the season they've had, but they haven't had to play Stanford and they haven't had to play Washington like we've had to do. Guess what? The schedules come out, they're just playing the ones that are loaded up. I can't go down that path. If U of A had scored another point or two here or there, they'd be undefeated. If you look at their losses have not been that bad outside of USC. Outside, say they'd have one loss. They'd have one loss. But the two games they lost earlier in the season, they were not bad losses. All right, Peter King from Dallas on the other side. On Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Why is Peter, is it strictly about the Jerry Jones-Goodell thing? He's in Dallas. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now it is time to talk with Peter King, world traveler, my understanding. And I guess you could open from the MMQB, of course. You can check out all of Peter's content online at the MMQB.com. His podcast, the Peter King podcast, the MMQB podcast. It is terrific listening each week. I guess you could open a satellite station in Dallas and just camp out there, hire a staff and say, you know what, just stay here. I heard Jerry Jones was on the radio this morning in Dallas defending himself, and I'm assuming that's why you are at DFW.
Yeah, I think the real interesting story here is that Jerry's not backing off.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people, Brad, honestly, on both sides of this, because I have a kind of a non-vocal minority, sort of the silent minority, as it were, of people who are, you know, I want to say rooting him on. Goodell, but I do think there are owners in this league right now who are not happy with Roger Goodell. And whether it means they want him out, I don't think necessarily that that is the case. But I do think they're unhappy with him because there's so many things now that are not going well in the league. And I think that is one of the things that the NFL is trying to get resolved right now in getting this contract done early rather than have it hang over everybody's heads.
Peter King is with us at DFW, and we apologize if Peter's dropping in and out. It's just because he's in an airport, and we appreciate him joining us for a few minutes. I'm wondering, Peter, and if you don't want to talk about your discussions, if you did visit with Jerry about all of this, or are you just down there doing a general State of the Union?
No, I actually was down here doing a Jason Witten story. So it was just coincidental that I'm here. But honestly, I just think right now that it isn't only about the Jerry thing, because in my opinion, I think that there are some more things going on with the league that have to do with things about they just can't solve little problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the little problems become big problems, as with the, as we've seen with several things, including the Anthem controversy, which has now become a very, very big issue.
Well, and I'll bring up an issue out here from last Thursday night, and that's Russell Wilson running to the sideline and then Jacoby Brissett against the Steelers going back into the game, and the whole concussion protocol has been called out once again. and has been laughed at just here in the last 4 days. It is like every week now there's something around the league that is not good, and we have to report on it. We have to see it as it is, and I think fans are catching on that this league's got a lot of issues. For the first time that I can ever remember, it's got more issues than ever, Peter. And I don't think that's just because there's more media outlets. I just think it's their business is messed up on a lot of levels.
There's no doubt about that. I think now, when you look at it, not only are there more issues with, like, the concussion protocol,
yeah,
but I think it's that everything just seems to not be getting fixed, you know, and that's a lofty thing to say and a non-specific thing to say, but it's almost like everything that happens in the league is, you know, becomes a major crisis, mm-hmm. and that is disturbing, I think, for a lot of people in this league right now, including some owners who, as I say, I think are in a vocal minority of people who are concerned about the job that Roger Goodell is doing.
One other question about Goodell, and that is, do you think, Peter, that he would walk away from all of this?
I don't. I think he is adamant that if he has the compensation committee on his side, that he's going to stick with it. And in my opinion, even if it's just because the compensation committee will be on his side, because this whole Jerry thing doesn't go away, I think that at this point, what you're seeing is a guy and also this compensation committee that are getting exceedingly dug in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm seeing. I think that guys like John Mara, Art Rooney, who have made their whole lives with this league, you know, Dan Rooney first, obviously, with the Steelers and his father, Art, that in essence what they're trying to do is they feel that they're trying to do what's best long-term for the league. And I don't see them – I see them going to really have their heels dug in, and they're not going to give up, and they're going to try to get this contract with Goodell done.
We're talking with Peter King. One last question on this subject, the MMQB, and we'll let you go. Peter joining us from DFW right there in the middle of Dallas. On the Jerry Jones side of the street, how many owners are in on his side? How many are against him from what you can tell at this point?
You know, that's the big question. You know, and I can't answer the question as to how many are on his side. I think Dan Snyder is on his side in Washington. It's funny, he was described over the weekend as Jerry Jones's mini me. You know, as a guy who really is trying his best, you know, along with Jerry to make sure the commissioner doesn't get too much power.
Right.
But who the others are, you know, I have my suspicions, you know, about Jim Irsay in Indianapolis and maybe Stan Kroenke and others. But again, it's interesting. It's all, you sit around the bar and you sit around and talk with some of your peers who cover the league, and they say, okay, who are Jerry's guys in this? And we all have our guesses and we all have everything. But that's what I mean about, this is such an odd story, because the damage to some of these people in the league, honestly, if they come out publicly against Goodell and come out to be with Jerry, like, that's the thing I kind of admire about Jerry Jones. You know, he is willing to take the hugely unpopular stand, mm-hmm. and to put himself out on an island where everybody is saying what an idiot he is. But he's willing to do that because he feels that things are legitimately wrong right now. And that's one of the reasons why I admire him. Even though he changed his, you can fault him for that, and he should be faulted for that.
Mm-hmm.
If he had these issues in the spring, you know, he's looking like a guy who's only having these issues because of the Ezekiel Elliott punishment, which I don't think is the case, but it certainly looks that way.
And there's people that say there's people, Peter, that say too that he got into the Hall of Fame, and if this was before his Hall of Fame vote, he would not be going down this path. You're a Hall of Fame voter. I don't know if you buy into that notion or not.
It would have nothing to do with my perception of him.
Yeah.
Just the same way it wouldn't have had and didn't have anything to do with my perception of Al Davis. I mean, you know, look, a person gets into the Hall of Fame for his or her, contributions to the game and what they've done for football. And clearly, absolutely clearly, this is going to be something with Jones that is going to what a lot of people think of him and is going to make that. I mean, how awkward was that on Sunday where, honestly, there's so much about Jerry Jones's stadium in Arlington, Texas, that was inspirational for Arthur Blank and what Arthur Blank, Rich McKay, and the team with the Falcons did in building their new stadium. And how ironic is that the first time that Jerry Jones walks in there, he's persona non grata with Arthur Blank and with the Falcons organization. It's just that was really one of the really weird days and one of the really weird things I've seen covering this league. Normally, in any other time, even like 2 weeks earlier, Jerry and Arthur would have been best buddies and would have been, would have met at midfield and hugged, and Jerry would have said, "Man, what a beautiful place you have here." And I've been there. I've taken the tour. It is a beautiful place. And it's part of what I think will be sort of a cadre of the new stadium idea around the NFL, in which it becomes as much the craziest thing when I was going through there, as much a great stadium and bar and grill. I mean, as much a great bar and grill as it is a football stadium.
Yeah.
Because the food is so good and the beer and the number of, beer choices you have there. It's like you're at some craft brew house or something. But you know, my point is that in a normal year, a normal day, Jerry Jones would have gotten the King's tour and everybody would have said, "Hey, Jerry, what do you think?" But as it was, you know, he sort of got the back of their hand at the stadium. And I think there was a lot of reasons why the Falcons were rejoicing in such a lopsided victory on Sunday, and that was certainly one of them.
Well, I know your next podcast, you could do the last 365 days, things I never thought I'd see, or that's the next book, because, I mean, there's been enough to go on to fill up another book for someone like
yourself.
Well,
it's crazy. What's so interesting, I'll say this last thing, and I'll let you go, but what is so interesting now is that, and it's fairly unfortunate, really, Brad, that, you know, this league is really, really interesting this year. And my column for tomorrow is going to be, hey, while we're all obsessing about all this stuff with Jerry and all that stuff, you know, I know we're obsessing about it, but hey, you're missing a hell of a season.
Yeah, no.
because you know, that, like in the NFC, what happened with the Saints? All these things. It's just a really, really interesting year in this league.
Let you go off that, Peter. Appreciate the time, as always. Safe travels. Thanks.
Thanks a million, Brent. Bye.
Always good to catch up with Peter King in Dallas. Right in the middle of stuff. It is a good year. It's in terms of this. Like, I'm going to watch Rams-Vikings this weekend. Okay? There's enough there, there's more than enough there, to want to see the Rams play the Vikings. That's going to be a very interesting game. But every day there's something going on. And he's right about the Saints. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Peter King. Peter again joins us every Tuesday, and you'll see some of that on our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We have a poll that is up that we'll get to in a minute around the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals situation, so Blaine Gabbert is going to be the starter. I think Mike Jarecki's reporting this. Blaine Gabbert's going to be starting this weekend, and it's fine. You've got to put somebody out on the field. I have been one that has said the guys that they have here presently on the roster, in my humble opinion, in my humble opinion, I do not see as the long-term answer. And there comes a point where you just keep putting it off and hope that history repeats itself as it did from Kurt Warner or Carson Palmer. Problem is, you have the in-between years, and there are a lot of them. We don't want to see the Derek Anderson, Max Hall, John Navarro. I mean, down the list of guys that were here and gone. Quarterbacks that have come and gone out of the Cardinals. Matt Leinart, of course, when you miss on a first-round pick, it haunts you forever. So there, we put up a poll over on our Sports 360 Twitter feed. Let's put that up if we can. And it you can get in on that. It's on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Is the 2018 starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals is? That is the poll question. The 2018 starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals is, and 64% so far that have weighed in said not on the 2017 roster.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Are you in that space too?
I am. The Cardinals have been putting off this issue for a while.
I'm kind of tired of talking about it because it's so obvious. Like, but they'll say, well, we drafted Logan Thomas. What are you
talking
about?
Doesn't count.
We spent a fourth round pick on Logan Thomas.
Doesn't count.
Like, as things are going, are you going to get to a point, as I'm probably going to get to in December, where it's like, please just lose? Are you going to get to that point?
Maybe. I mean, look at the NFC West. Okay, the 49ers have their quarterback of the future. The Rams have their quarterback of the present. The Seahawks have Russell Wilson, and then you have the Cardinals. I mean, they're so far removed. You have to have a quarterback to win in the NFL. You have to.
So here's one of the things I would counter that with, because I do agree with you. But they're going to say things like, how can we go through a rebuilding project when we had David Johnson? We don't need to go through rebuilding. We're just going to turn around and hand the football off. Let's go get ourselves a veteran guy. Who knows what's going to happen with Andrew Luck and his situation in Indianapolis.
Sure.
So down the list it goes. And I can see that, Eric. I can see that argument. But the other side of it is, look at what is happening in Philadelphia. Just look at what's happening in Philadelphia. I understand they haven't missed on picks. They've been able to overcome injuries, and it's only the midpoint of the season. Let's see how they finish out. Are they going to flame out or not? But Carson Wentz is terrific.
And the Eagles went for it. I mean, they basically said, you know what? We're going to trade up. We're going to get this guy, and he's going to be the quarterback, and we're going to play him, and we're going to live through the bumps.
They traded away LeSean McCoy.
Just like Jared Goff in L.A. Last year at this time, if you would have told me Jared Goff would have the 2017 season that he's having from the sample size that we saw last year, I would have said you're crazy. But we're deep enough into the season now. It's no fluke. I mean, it's just...
Well,
the
trades they made with the Bills for their wide receiving core, you look at how aggressive they've been. And Steve Keim's been aggressive.
He has been.
But when it comes to quarterbacks, 2 years ago when I was at the Combine, you know, I get the look of like, why are you asking us about quarterbacks? Well, because we know this day is coming. And when you put it off to go do other things and go draft other players, and then they don't work out for whatever reason, or they get hurt, or they're not mature enough. Yeah, it's hard to sit here and look at the future and say, Blaine Gabbert for the fan base here in the Valley, it's not going to get them excited. Unless you're just the diehard of diehard, and there's not that many of them here in Arizona. No, you've got to go out and go find that guy and grow with that guy. And I don't know if it is Sam Bradford. I haven't looked around enough at the – I've seen Sam Darnold and Sam Bradford play 3 or 4 times. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that's the answer. You know, there are other players and there are other positions of need. I'm just saying I don't believe the present starting quarterbacks that are on this roster are ones that are going to take this franchise to a level of success. Carson, I think Peter's right where Peter has said have Carson mentor for a year and then Carson would retire. Carson hasn't said anything about his future as of yet, and it's just the middle point of the year. I get it.
But I am, Brad, intrigued to see what Blaine Gabbert does this weekend.
Sure.
I mean, he's been, you know, there's a reason why they brought him in. And you talked about the whispers internally about how maybe this could be the guy, maybe.
Maybe.
Because he's been in some bad situations when it comes to talent around him and a poor offensive line, things like that.
Different coordinators.
Yep. At least we will get to see a little bit this weekend because, you know, Drew Stanton is a trusted backup, but it's, I mean,
he's just that. He's a trusted backup.
He played okay against Seattle, but they lost. So
there's not a charisma.
There's not a charisma.
There is not a charisma. Like Sam Bradford, as much as it probably pained you and you probably were yelling at your TV about him ripping off his helmet and jumping around and all that, I need some fire.
I think you
fire.
Mean Baker Mayfield? Is that who you're talking about? You got the university right, Baker just Mayfield. Got the quarterback wrong,
I am old so. Today.
Wow,
old
I would today. Love to see Sam Bradford, stoic Sam Bradford, ripping off
today.
His helmet.
That's good.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that Baker Mayfield could be the first overall pick in the draft, not just the first quarterback.
Like him?
I mean, I respect him. Of course, I don't like him because he has been terrorizing the Big 12 for the last 3 years. But there's no doubt he is a winner and he is a special talent.
Okay, so let me take it this way. So the Cardinals are going to be, and we talk about this every year with Fitz and his future, but I'm looking at the other wide receivers. Michael Floyd didn't work out. That was a first-round pick that missed. They got him out of here. And he's bounced around since. Jerron Brown. Are they just guys? It sounds disrespectful, but they are not elite wide receivers.
Inconsistent okay. with a lot of those names.
Okay, so
talent is there, but consistency isn't.
Okay, have you and I seen enough, and this will sound very homerish, but tough. Have we seen enough of Christian Kirk to determine that he's going to be a first-round pick?
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt he's going to be a first-round pick. And the Cardinals are very much, as most NFL teams are, about doing things that are going to cause a stir and a buzz within the marketplace. That's just how it is in this day and age of sports. And especially if you can solve some issues. Would I be against them with this roster, which is aging at wide receiver, to go draft Christian Kirk rather than a quarterback? Depends on which quarterback is sitting there that's available. I don't want them just to go out and grab one of these guys. If they finish, the worst thing that can happen is they do the 7-9, 8-8 thing. That's just the worst. You're somewhere in the middle again, and you're not getting the top of the top. Tanking has its benefits, unless you're the Cleveland Browns. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you lose every year. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how many picks you have. You're never going to get it right. So I'm in agreement with you. Like, I'll watch some Blaine Gabbert on Sunday. I'm not going to watch it in real time. I'll have the DVR going. It's supposed to be 80 degrees on Sunday. Like, I'm going to watch Texans. I'm going to watch Tom Savage and Blaine Gabbert live, unless I'm at a bar, which doesn't sound half bad. On the other side, there's some other things going on we'll get to before we wrap things up today, including the Diamondbacks manager tonight is going to find out if he is the winner of Manager of the Year in the National League and some other things, too. That's next. Stay with us. A couple other things before we get out of here. Tomorrow, Michael Fabiano will be with us. We're also going to do some heavy college football tomorrow. I'm not sure about guest-wise on that front, but we'll be heavy on the college football scene. And then, of course, Thursday, Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, and we'll have Goody at the movies. I got a screening for a whole bunch of movies. I saw the Charles Dickens movie. I got to talk to Bill about that. Life Story of Charles Dickens last week in the morning. I took my son to see it. It was really dark, but it's supposed to be great, which comes out next week. I thought it was okay. Let's leave it at that. Tonight, Torrey Lovello is going to find out if he's manager of the year. I would be surprised if he is. It's not demeaning Torrey. It's just the job that Dave Roberts did. I think you look at what's gone on in Los Angeles and as far as they went. That he would be the winner there. Cody Bellinger over at his home in Chandler last night getting the National League Rookie of the Year award. And congratulations to Cody. Hometown kid makes good. It's good stuff there. We're also in this space, guys, where we do a lot of high school on the website. And we have our TV show that has a high school component to it. And we have our high school show that we do every Wednesday. Jordan and Haley are part of. Friday Night 360 AZ preview. Every Friday night, our Friday Night 360 AZ hashtag trends in the top 10 in the market, sometimes atop it. If it's not a busy sports night, we're always up there near the top, which is great stuff. We appreciate people getting involved in that. Eric loves going to high school games. And you love, and I love going to high school games too. My weekends are Friday night high school, Saturday go to the college games, and then Sunday check out the Cardinals game. So that's just how I roll. And you are going where? It's semifinals, so this
is
big.
So I'm going to two games in the West Valley. My first game is Sal Point Catholic versus Sunrise Mountain. So you have the Tucson school against the West Valley school playing at the neutral site located about 10 minutes from Sunrise Mountain.
Oh, gosh.
That's what happens
when
you're the higher seed.
Where are they playing that?
They're playing at Ironwood High School.
At Ironwood High School.
Yep.
And Sunrise Mountain, you did a piece on their quarterback.
Yep. That person that you see right there on the screen, number 10, Keegan Freed, is a really, really dynamic player. Last year, he sat behind Chase Cord, who's now at Boise State. And Keegan is having a great year. 46 total touchdowns. I think I wrote over the weekend close to 3,500 total yards, and it's going to be an interesting contrast of styles because Sal Point is really big up front on both sides of the ball, and Bijan Robinson, their sophomore running back, is electric. He's averaging about 11 yards a carry. So
getting a lot of college interest?
So yes, he's going to be a big-time prospect.
Is he? Okay.
So I would assume the game plan for Dennis Binet and the Lancers is grind the game to a halt, run the ball, keep Keegan Freed and that offense off the field and get the job done.
So how many Division I players, if somebody's watching this who says, you know, I haven't been to a high school game all year, but I want to go see the next college players. Like they've got the lineman Melee at Sal Point.
Mateo Melee, who is committed to the University of Washington, is a really good player. And they have, again, not really in my wheelhouse. They've got a couple other guys I'm sure they're getting recruited.
Jordan and Jason have all that stuff. But
yeah, Keegan Freed may have a chance to go play somewhere next year. He's really more of an athlete than a quarterback. His best position may be in the slot or kind of on the wing or something because he is not the most accurate of passers, but his passing has definitely improved.
Okay, so you're going to that game, and then you're going to go to Liberty.
Oh, you got to go check out Liberty and Centennial. I mean, those two teams, they're located about 5 miles away from one another.
They like each other or no?
No.
Is it one of those bad ones?
No. I mean, I don't think there's a hatred between them.
Yeah.
But these two teams have been playing for a long time. Ryan Bendel, the quarterback right there for Liberty, is a really good player. And I don't know if you remember, Brad, but 3 or 4 weeks ago, Centennial had Liberty beat and basically just gave the game away in the last 5 minutes. So
Centennial's running back.
Yeah, that's not him. But Zidane Thomas, number two for Centennial, is headed to Boise State, and he's a really good player.
And Centennial's always loaded.
They're in the semifinals, finals, championship pretty much every year. I mean, Richard Taylor's been there and has won double digit games dating back as far as Max Preps goes.
So here's the thing on this: if you live in the Valley or around the state, wherever you're consuming this, it doesn't matter if you're out in Thatcher. Thatcher's in the playoffs this weekend. You get out and support the high school. If you haven't been to see the high school games on a Friday night, get out of the routine and rut and just go check them out. And then you'll see the college side a little differently. We've had guys like Christian Kirk sit in this studio showing up with the tank top and the gun show going. And that's when he was still at Saguaro. And now he's at Texas A&M. And next year he's going to be playing in the NFL as a first-round pick. It's pretty cool to see that. And we've actually, as a staff, we've talked a little bit about the combine this year in Indianapolis, and with the Cardinals' situation at quarterback, there is going to be a lot of Arizona connections at the combine this year. Mark Andrews over at Oklahoma is projected to be a first or second round tight end. He played over at Desert Mountain. He's having a great season with the Sooners. Christian Kirk, who we mentioned earlier, and there are others as well. So you know, get on out, enjoy some high school football on a Friday night. And if you're starting to get into it, because here's what happens. Your kids get out of high school and you just start paying attention to the pros. And then you go back to the high schools and you see, you know, there's stuff on the website you can check out at sports360az.com, sports360az.com. Today is a day. I'm wondering if you should turn the camera on and have Jared sit in front of the camera because Jared, the chairman of the board, the Iron Man, has a birthday today. And not many of us, because there's not many of us here, come in early on their birthday, but Jared Nielsen did, and we appreciate him for that. You don't have to turn your camera on because he would just smack it.
Yeah, he'd rather be heard from than be seen.
Oh, well, then put him on a microphone if he wants to be heard from. No, he'll just tell me to shut up and move on to a break. It's fine. Appreciate Jared and everything that he does here. Appreciate you checking us out. By the way, we are self-funded. that means that we have sponsors, and without our sponsors, we don't do this. And we've been at it for just about 6 years and a couple of months now. So we appreciate our sponsors and ask you to support them. If you're interested in supporting us, let us know. Have yourself a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.